One in five Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and deliver with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN Gamescoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Jared Petty.
Scoop!
Brian Altano. Marty Sliva.
That was disarming.
Yeah, I had to wake you up. A little afternoon coffee for you.
We got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about the Of Wars, both of the God and Gears varieties.
Oh. Whoa. The Of Wars. Become these Of Wars have.
We're going to talk about Dead Space. But first, to let you know, anyone who's going to PAX East, the schedule is out now. And the IGN panel is going to be 7 p.m. on Saturday, which is a good time slot.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a party afterwards.
We'll
have more details to share about that to share with you soon. But 7 p.m. IGN panel in the Dragonfly Theater, Saturday night.
Terrifying. I don't like dragonflies.
Dragonflies are, you know, one time... I used to spend summers in Louisiana with my uncle and my cousin, and we'd go out in the swamps, and they would fish, and I hated fishing, but I had to go. And one time, these two dragonflies landed on the side of the boat, and they were humping, and I was like, "Get away from me!"
Now I can get behind.
Like one is like mounted on the top of it, and it's like pulsing.
You can, bugs having sex is weird.
Like, I mean, if anyone in this room could fly, you would totally do that.
What? Wait. Just do it while flying?
Yeah, hump in the sky.
I'll
let you think about that.
The
answer is yes.
I'm not even part of the Mile High Club for humans.
So, low for insects.
Anyway, God of War. Let's do God of War first, even though Gears comes first alphabetically. But the news about God of War this week came out first. We're hearing God of War 4 could be based in Norse mythology.
Woohoo! Yeah, there was a concept art leak, and it showed a character who may or may not be Kratos. Mm-hmm. He sort of looks physically like Kratos, but he has a big beard, and he's got like a hammer or an axe, and then a bunch of really colorful settings that would take place along, like, you know, the Bifrost and Asgard and all that nonsense.
Yeah, so we know in the next Gears of War or God of War is in development, but it hasn't been officially announced.
Yeah, Corey Balrog. Either the demon from Lord of the Rings or the boxer from Street Fighter.
Yeah.
It's one of
the demon of the ancient
who he was the lead on God of War 2. He left the studio and then he came back and I think it was like PSX 2014, like offhandedly was like, "Oh yeah, we're working on God of War 4." And everyone was like, "Okay."
I think this is a wonderful fit. Like the Norse gods had an opportunity to actually be heroes. They could die. If you read like the Eldoretta or any of that stuff, they were actually people who constantly fought against the darkness and aspired against powers they knew they couldn't defeat, but they fought anyway. There's really great stories. But they were also a people who worshipped violence to the point that the only way to go to heaven was to die trying to kill somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a perfect setting for a game that's about ripping people's heads off and going, "Rah!"
Ragnar!
You know, I really think
that's my favorite scene in God of War 3.
Yeah, I've
that's
never
the description on Wikipedia.
Press triangle to roar.
Exactly. And I've never been really grabbed by God of War before. I like Greek mythology. I studied Greek in college. I care a lot about the culture. But I think because of that, the whole like roids didn't really get me. But in Norse mythology, I mean, the Vikings were an articulate people in a lot of ways, but they also, you know, whoop butt up and down Europe for several hundred years. Their culture was built largely on conquest, and this is a much more appropriate fit for that kind of just angry, stabby, bloody kill fest. So I'm excited about
you
it.
You sound like a Norse fanboy.
I am a Norse fanboy. Oh, man.
Norse boy.
Grew up reading the Mighty Thor, grew up reading the Norse myths, love this stuff.
All right, so you like the idea of a Norse God of War.
I think this is a wonderful fit for a game.
How about Brian and Marty?
I'm into it. I think the series needs something kind of fresh and new. I think going back to that same sort of seven different giant statues to run around and break their arms and stuff like that, it's fine, and I do want to see it looking beautiful on PS4. But let's drag this old franchise into a new setting. Yep. I think almost every other video game franchise has reinvented itself in some way at this point, at least by the fourth one. I mean, so it's the perfect time to do something like that.
Yeah, and the first three God of Wars were critical and commercial successes, and then Ascension sort of left a pox mark on the series. And so everyone kind of forgets that was a thing.
Right.
Just like Gears of War Judgment.
Totally. Which is weird that, these series have strong parallels. But, the Norse stuff looked cool. It looked really colorful. And the idea that, we were talking about this the other day, Norse mythology, by virtue of Thor and the Avengers, people sort of have a very scant knowledge of, what that is. Like, I know who Thor is. I know who some of these characters are in this place, and Odin, and there's a hammer.
It's such a rich mythology. I mean, the Norse gods, they could die, and did frequently, and it really presents a world where there's a lot of risk, and they're also, because they were kind of built on this whole Valhalla for battle thing, there's a lot of really cool monsters and quests that you could just set things in. You know, the Norse invented hell, as we understand today. Hell's a Norse word. There's just all these really neat things you could do with it. I'm very excited. Plus, you can call it God of Thor, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, it's prediction, this game's going to be open world.
Oh. What?
Whoa.
Well, that would be very, very different since God of War is so scripted and so cinematic.
Yeah.
Why that prediction?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. So I looked into a mirror the other day, and that's what the voice told me.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
Well,
okay.
Marty was right about Rise of the Tomb Raider being delayed.
That's true.
That's true.
Rise of the Tomb Raider. 2016's hottest
game. He has a magical mirror in his apartment.
Kratos, as far as I know, is a Greek name.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
So does that mean, could there be a God of War without Kratos?
Absolutely.
We have a new hero.
Yeah, I think there should be, too. Three is good enough. We managed to move on at Assassin's Creed to new characters. I think it's worked before, and it could work again, as long as you create a compelling and interesting person.
Yeah, I mean, Kratos was a cool character. He wasn't necessarily an interesting character.
I don't know that I would call Kratos a compelling
or interesting
person.
He would just scream God's names, Calliope, and then, he'd kill
McDonald's.
His wife.
So people grabbed onto him, though. I mean, he had the hook. You know, he was okay, this is a guy, and he sort of represents the testosterone gene in its purest and most gross video game form, and people, for some reason, gravitated toward that.
Yeah.
You can create somebody else at least that appealing, as long as there's something to say.
And there's sort of a void in the, 3D action genre. I mean, Bayonetta 2 was awesome, but since then, we don't have a ton of, doesn't seem like we're getting a new Devil May Cry.
No, nothing like that.
We're not
going to
get an Onimusha anytime soon.
We're getting the Ninja Turtles game, which is, not M-rated.
No, I think those are slightly
although
different
audiences.
Although
something grotesquely mature about, adult teenagers walking around eating street pizza and fighting pigs. It's just weird. It's a dark theme to imagine.
It's true.
That tortured existence.
Well, Kratos pretty much killed all the Greek gods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all gone.
No one left to kill.
Yeah.
So this led me to wonder what Norse gods would be available to be killed in a Norse God of War. I did some research.
Ooh.
Okay. There's of course Odin.
Mm-hmm.
He's Thor's dad.
Yep.
He had a bad habit. He would roam around seducing and impregnating women.
Mm-hmm. What? That's not a habit. That's a crime.
Wait, that's impregnate women?
That's a crime? Spree of crimes.
Well, this is why many mortals can trace their ancestry back to Odin.
Maybe the hero could be related to Odin somehow.
Oh, wow.
That could be cool.
Also, Norse mythology remarkably progressive in placing the onus for infidelity not on the woman, but on the man. One of the first cultures in the Western world to do that.
So he's like the Norse mythology old dirty bastard?
Yes.
But he's also, that's one, again, a lot of these gods have multiple aspects. Yep. I mean, it's also a guy that, according to some stories, pulled out his own eye to like save humanity and gain knowledge of the world.
So. Yeah, ODB did that. That was on the third track on his second album.
There are, of course, Thor and Loki.
Yeah, yep.
Who we're well familiar with, thanks to Avengers. Mm-hmm. Sif is Thor's wife, and I think she was known for her golden hair, and Loki cut it off in her sleep.
What a dick. What a, wow.
Really?
Was he like that hard up for money?
There is Hel.
There is Hel.
Hel is either a goddess or a monster, daughter of Loki, and she ruled over the land of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
It ruled over the land of the dead. Frey is a fertility god. Freya is the goddess of sex.
Mm-hmm.
Idun is the goddess of spring and immortal youth. And there's loads more. There's a whole bunch more.
Yeah, like
there's
the season?
The season.
There's a thing called the Midgar serpent. That's like a big snake. You can probably rip that thing's wang off.
You got the Midgar serpent. You got the frost giants. You've got Baldur the Brave.
The Valkyries.
Yeah, the Valkyries would be awesome.
There's
a
Heart, which is the kid with the ring, who has he was the chimpanzee.
He was the lamest of the Norse gods.
Yeah, him and his four friends get together and summon Captain Planet, who's
That American fire god, he was really irritating, too. He was all like brash, and then the Russian girl would be like, I am Soviet.
Sorry, we got lost in Captain Planet lore for a second there.
Anyway, if this were to be announced soon, E3 would probably be a good time.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it'd be cool if that was one of those Fallout-esque games announced at E3 and came out this fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how likely that is. I think this fall is going to be all about Horizon Zero Dawn for Sony.
Yeah, Last Guardian.
Hopefully Last Guardian, although I don't know.
Laugh.
I mean,
Horizon Zero Dawn, man. That
really I just wouldn't be surprised if Last Guardian is a 2017
game. Oh, sure,
But I feel like Horizon Zero Dawn.
But they showed us a 2016 logo.
Yeah, well.
They wouldn't possibly lie to us.
All right, stay tuned for more on the next God of War. But for the next Gears of War, that one is for sure happening.
Yeah.
And we know what that is, and it has a release date now, October 11th.
Yeah, that's super
10-11.
Whoa.
12-16.
For a second, I was like, they did it. And I'm like, that was 4 years ago.
I think it was Skyrim that came out 11-11-11.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Now, I think Gears of War 4 is now the latest big game we know of with a release date this year.
Yeah, it's the sort of last week we had Final Fantasy with September 30th.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that sort of started the, like, this is what fall is about. And then this, October 11th, which is super exciting. We don't know a ton about the game yet. Like, we saw that short 6-minute single player demo at E3 last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we haven't seen any footage from the game since then. Game Informer had a cover story, but it was more about just like who the characters were.
And the setting.
Yeah. And the setting. Yeah. And it takes place 20, 25 years after.
In the woods, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's like
one
a night.
One night. One night in the woods.
Yeah. One night in the woods. It's a horror game now.
Which is awesome.
I'm suddenly interested. Yeah. I have never cared two seconds about a Gears of War game.
And I thought that was going to go so many different directions.
No, I couldn't come up with a good word.
Two shakes of
I'm bad at words. I've never cared about Gears before, and the idea that it's like this one-night horror game, is like, that sounds great.
Yeah, characters seem cool, and then we get more, we're getting a multiplayer beta soon.
Was it Gears of War 2 where they went inside the belly of that giant slug thing?
Yeah.
And it was like a straight-up like horror game?
Yeah.
I really like that. Like, I think that the more they kind of lean on the action elements in terms of gameplay, but lean on horror stuff in terms of setting, that's awesome. We don't, like you said before, we don't really get a lot of third-person action games. Like, the Resident Evil franchise is all but gone, basically. Yeah. I don't know if they're working on 7.
Sort of Gears of War up Resident Evil.
Yeah, so. Especially in 5 and 6.
Well, those, like, I feel like those games had a little back and forth going for a while there. But, I mean, they're re-releasing 6, 5, and 4. In that order?
Yeah, that's so weird.
Why? Yeah. I don't understand.
Resident Evil?
Yeah.
I'll wait for 4 because it's awesome. But I love that perspective. I love that gameplay in Gears of War. Like, we've gotten so many like sort of like cover shooters since then, but like this is the OG, you know? Like, this is the one that like bring it back. And I can't wait to see that looks on Xbox
They've
One.
They've talked about some really cool systemic improvements too, like the ability to shoot down cover from areas above you, but it's like a risk-reward thing because there's these big cocoons and monsters sometimes burst out of them, but you can also drop them down to get quick cover when you need it. And they've redone melee kills so that they're really fast, like you can't just crouch right next to somebody and not be able to hit them anymore. A lot of really neat innovations like that. And also they went to northern Italy and went out in the countryside and like the Renaissance cities around there and used that to model this whole weird sci-fi world that's pretty much completely different than anything we've seen in a Gears game before.
Yeah, it's so odd.
Yeah, I like it. I love when franchises reinvent themselves in smart, interesting ways. I don't know if it's going to work, but thank God they tried.
Just like Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning.
Indeed, where the paramedic, spoilers, is actually the killer.
It's actually not Jason Voorhees.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a Shyamalan twist. Yeah.
That's all right.
It's true. Marty, you were tweeting about Gears of War 4 this morning.
Yeah, very excited.
It seemed like you were excited. So you're a gear boy.
I'm a gear boy. Yeah. Gears of War 2 is one of my favorite 360 games. And I prefer third-person shooters to first-person shooters. Like, I like Halo, I like Call of Duty, but like, I love Gears.
But let me ask you this. October 11th is the release date.
Yeah.
What if that's also the release date for Yooka-Laylee?
You're having a weird weekend.
We're having a really weird weekend. I mean, it's ukulele. I got to do ukulele.
Yeah. Ukulele is supposed to be out this October. Yeah. Who knows? Really? Who knows if it'll be out this October?
Man, I'd be really excited
ukulele.
About that. You think so?
I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not, too.
Moving on, let's check in with the listeners.
Hi, listeners.
Thank you.
he was the listener there.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Thomas Wade in Conway, Arkansas did.
Greetings, Thomas.
He says, he writes to us about Dead Space. When the original Dead Space became backwards compatible for Xbox, I was overjoyed. I've always held this game close to my heart, but as I started a fresh playthrough, I was a little surprised at how well it still holds up after 8 years. The atmosphere is palpable, the monsters are genuinely terrifying, and the plot is intriguing. This got me thinking, does Isaac Clarke have another adventure in him? Is it time for a reboot, or has this series run its course? What do you guys think? The last Dead Space was Dead Space 3 in 2013?
Yeah.
Early 2013, I want to say?
Either before or... No, it must have been...
It was
before that.
It was early 2013.
They also did like an iPad game that was a tie-in that was like kind of similar to the first one. It's so weird to to be into video games and follow a franchise so closely and just... It just becomes part of your vernacular for a few years and then just completely vanishes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially from a company like EA. Like, they seem like the kind of people that would hold on to something like that and take care of it.
How many Battlefields have there been?
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
But, Visceral moved on to work on a Battlefield game. You know,
they're working on Amy Hennig's Star Wars game, which I feel like that's the reason EA was willing to give up a thing like Dead Space is because it's like, oh, well, we can focus on this instead, which... The game can be the worst game ever, and it'll still sell millions of copies. Mm-hmm. It also won't be the worst game ever, because Amy Hennig's pretty good at making video games.
Yeah.
So it's Visceral.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I feel like that trilogy... And then there was an epilogue, DLC epilogue, that came out for
Awakening.
Three. Awakening, yeah. And I feel like at least Isaac Clarke's story is done.
Well, he is still alive. Spoilers. He is still alive at the end of Awakening.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And it's a little, I don't think the whole situation is resolved.
Yeah.
They didn't destroy all the necromorphs.
Yeah, so yeah.
You could continue that story, but I wonder, he mentions a reboot. I don't know, you could do...
Yeah, a reboot or a spinoff. Extraction is my favorite Dead Space game.
Mm-hmm. Is that the Wii one?
That's the light gun shooter, which is, it's really good. It's a wonderful on-rails light gun shooter.
I don't remember that.
It was on Wii. Yeah, you should play this.
I totally don't remember it.
It's a great, 3-hour, couch co-op experience.
Yeah, I remember
it's
this
really
game.
Good.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun.
They were doing that for the Wii. They did that House of the Dead Overkill.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was like a grindhouse movie.
Where the American flag would fly up and go, Gorgasm!
That's what I do
funny.
At the end of sex.
Yeah, really? There were like 7 F-bombs.
You have
you
an American flag
that's
right next to the bed.
Gorgasm!
Is that when dragonflies do it? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
That's just called Gorgasm.
Yeah, it's called Gorgasm.
So that, off those rails. Yeah, why not?
I love the original Dead Space.
Yeah.
Same.
And I liked Dead Space 2, but not as much because they were moving the series into more of an action game instead of a survival horror game. Mm-hmm. And then Dead Space 3 is more of a third person shooter, like a Lost Planet game.
Yep.
Yeah, it was even felt like Lost because you're in the middle of the snowy place. Yeah. And I thought Dead Space 3 looked kind of boring. And I agree, 1 is incredible. And I think 2 walked a pretty good balance between action and horror. I would love to see it go back to, because survival horror is bigger now than. Ever with Let's Plays and everything with stuff Outlast and the Paranormal Activity VR thing we played. So I would love to see what this a next gen take on a sort of simplified, spooky Dead Space would be.
I totally agree. I'd play that in a heartbeat.
Five Nights with Freddy's crossover. That's what you
don't say that. Don't make it happen.
Yeah, get all the space aliens pop out, little Muppets.
So if they were going to make a new Dead Space game, Visceral is busy working on a Star Wars game. I presume their whole team is dedicated to that. They don't have another team that they can work on Dead Space. Who should EA assign Dead Space to?
Oh, wow. Great question.
I have the answer. PopCap.
Yeah.
If you want to make money, yeah.
PopCap got together originally because they wanted to make like a quote real video game, and mm-hmm. they just made other stuff to fill in the gap, and they never stopped because yeah. they were making tons of money. And,
yeah.
You know. Now I was looking at EA's roster of studios, and there didn't really seem to be a good fit. They've got studios that do like RTS stuff and sports games, but no one that does like third person like adventure.
Yeah, yeah. Gaming. Dice doesn't really touch that.
Yeah, they're doing like multiplayer focused.
Yeah, Visceral was sort of a singular studio.
Visceral was like the one to do it.
Yeah. I mean, they own the Jade Raymond studio, Motive. Yeah. Which we don't know what that what their game is. It's
probably they're supposed to work on something new, right?
Like yeah, new I imagine IP. There's something. It's going to be like Assassin's Creed in terms yeah. of like EA doesn't really have a big open world, you know, yeah. Ubisoft-esque game.
How
yeah.
about how about farming it out to From?
Man, that'd
From
be something.
Software. Yeah. What are they up to these days?
After Dark Souls 3, nothing. No one's
Bloodborne 2.
I mean, probably Bloodborne 2.
Yeah, it would be like it would be. There'd be some weird jankiness to it, but I kind of like the idea of like From's take on a Dead Space universe.
I would love to see.
That's actually really smart.
Yeah, and they From Software did the Armored Core exactly. series before Dark Souls, so they at least know.
That could be cool. Yeah,
that's kind of where my mind was going. It's like the convergence of those two things.
Man, those things are scary. Like, I don't like that.
Oh, those?
Yeah. I mean, that's. From Software can handle that.
Yeah.
those are tame compared to
some of those. Arms coming out of places where arms shouldn't come out.
Yeah.
Dead Souls, Dark Space, Blood Dead Space.
Well, this I don't want it to be a Dark Souls game. I want it to be a Dead Space game with that nice little touch they could give it. I don't want it to be like a Souls game and everything, but
We already invented Deadborne and they're making it, so you're going to have to sit back for a few years.
And I mean like, you know, the Japanese know horror. I mean from Resident Evil to Silent Hill to
The Ring.
The Ring?
Kind of good at
The
that.
Grudge.
Ringu.
Ringu, yes.
The Crutch.
Ragu.
Did you guys, total tangent, but did you guys see they made a The Grudge versus The Ring movie?
Yeah, in Japan.
What?
Yeah. Was really? It just like a and they, like, ghost they fight each other? Ghost girl?
I guess it's like they, I don't know if the...
It's like Freddy versus Jason.
Like guess, they make The Grudge watch The Ring.
They're just on a teeter-totter pissing at each other for 2 hours, just back and forth.
People sitting in the middle screaming,
who can kill the most horses?
Yeah, I love how it's like, well, that's ridiculous. Anyway, here's the fourth Freddy vs. Jason movie.
Yeah.
Alien vs. Predator 3. Like,
I kind of like
Batman
Freddy
vs.
Jason.
Superman.
I thought Freddy vs. Jason was cute. I like that movie.
Cute.
Yeah.
Cute. That's what they were going for. Yep. That was a box quote. Cute, Jared Petty.
Do you like a Damon?
No,
it
isn't.
Of course not.
All right, next email comes from Suicide King. Suicide King himself. He spells with a Z.
Suicide King?
Yeah.
Wow.
He says, with the PS4.5 all but confirmed at this point, I feel that Microsoft has more to gain than Sony. It is well known Xbox One is underpowered compared to the PS4. I remember Sam Claiborne mentioning that when he is playing Xbox, in the back of his mind, he's always wondering how much better the game would look on Sony's console. My thought is that if both companies release an upgraded version of their current consoles, Microsoft can even the playing field or even possibly make their version slightly better. Mm-hmm. This in turn would allow Sony to lose their advantage in this area of the console war. Would love to hear your thoughts.
I'm scared to death of an arms race. This isn't an add-on pack we're talking about, at least not from what I understand. We're talking about a whole new piece of hardware that yes, it's going to have some backward compatibility, it sounds like. It'll run, quote-unquote, the same titles, but you know you're getting a lower fidelity experience of some kind. And I am worried about a high-cost arms race. I don't want to buy a new console every 3 years. I have PCs for that, and I enjoy them for that. But the console space has existed for almost 40 years in a place where once you bought what you bought, you had an idea that you'd made a major investment that was going to be good for you for, you know, probably a 5 to 7 year period.
Now, yeah.
I hope it doesn't sound too much like an old man.
No.
But I'm already tired of buying a new phone every 2 years. The last thing I want to do is do that with another piece of expensive home electronics just because...
See, I think if you can subsidize the cost, then it becomes a non-issue. Mm-hmm. Like, no joke, I'm glad you brought up the phone thing, because when I first started reading the rumors about PS4.5, I was reading it on my iPhone, and I got a text from AT&T being like, you are eligible for a new upgrade. And I was actually going to complain about I was like in the middle of typing something somewhere where I was just like, this is dumb, they should never do this. And it was just like, oh, cool, new phone. Oh, awesome. Yeah. I want to get one of those. Yeah. So if they made some sort of thing where you could trade in, I know when I bought my last iPhone, I traded in my old phone on the spot. And at the Apple store, they paid me for it and took that money and put it directly towards my new purchase. And it was just like, oh, wow, awesome. You just knocked like 150 bucks off of this thing. So if that's something they can do, I'm into it. What worries me is then when do I do that again? Like, if this is something that happens once a generation, that now becomes I buy a PS4 and a PS4.5, and then I buy in 3 years a PS5 and a PS5.5. I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah, the PS4 SE.
Okay. Yeah, but if it's like, dude, if it gets to that kind of that thing where it's just like every year is not just a cosmetic difference, but it's also like, oh, it's quieter or it's faster.
Comes in rose gold.
Yeah, rose gold.
And that's what I'm worried about. I don't want to deal with that kind of escalation. I hope it's like an old man, maybe. But it's a little frustrating. This is a space where I've had a pretty good idea what the market was going to offer me for a long time. I don't see a need for this to change. I understand.
Yeah, you don't sound like an old man, because a huge part of the video game market is younger, you know, teenagers that don't have lots of money to burn.
Totally. It's that weird balance where, like, on one hand, I'm like, oh man, it'd be kind of cool if. I mean, the whole 4K thing doesn't really apply to any of us. None of us have 4K TVs, I don't think. And 4K streaming is not, like, the American bandwidth infrastructure is not going to be able to handle it for quite a while. So that part doesn't really excite me. But the idea of being like, oh, man, what if the load times are better? And what if they looked a little bit better, or the particle effects? Like, it would be the equivalent of if you were gaming on a PC going from, like, high to ultra settings. Mm-hmm. We're, like, not losing anything content-wise.
Right.
It's not like the game on high doesn't look good. It's just on ultra, you get a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I totally feel the same way. I'm like, well, I bought these two things at launch, and I don't want to get boned by people who waited 3 or 4 years.
Well, the PC thing's a really good comparison, though, because, I mean, we are talking about how people do have limited income, but that doesn't seem to affect people who are in the high-end PC market, and they're gamers, and they want to buy. They can buy a game today and run it as best as possible, or they can up their graphics card and run it better. And that's an option you have. I think when you get to a point where it's like, I look at stuff like the new Nintendo 3DS, right? Mm. And when we first heard about that, I was terrified that it was going to split the market, because all of these games would end up only being on the new Nintendo 3DS, and the millions of people that owned a regular 3DS couldn't play it. Turns out like two games ended up there.
And now Nintendo games.
And Super Nintendo, like, like the actual benefits of having that console ended up mostly being 25-year-old games.
Yeah.
Like, which is very weird to me. So I think if the option's there, it's okay. If it starts getting to a point where you feel like you have to upgrade because you're missing out, then there's a problem. It's also a big, like, this is a big problem for the console wars. Because if I'm supposed to argue as a PlayStation guy against Xbox, and now I have to fight my own PlayStation people about which PlayStation's better, it's tearing us. You're tearing this family apart.
Which is why console wars are dumb. One of the main reasons.
Yes.
You are the most anti-console war person I know.
Yeah, no, I'm completely agnostic when it comes to video game platforms for the most part.
It's also, I can't imagine someone, if they say someone just owns a PS4. And then all of a sudden a PS4.5 comes out, then being like, I'm going to spend $400 on the PS4.5, I'd be like, well, what if you spent that on an Xbox so you could play stuff like Sunset Overdrive and Halo and Gears, or spend that on an NX so you could play Wibby's Wobby World or whatever.
And they can talk all they want about the power of the consoles and what they're capable of, but the fact is that people get better and better and better at creating software for platforms as time goes on. When you go back and look at GTA 5 at the end of the last gen, smoke ought to have been coming out of the side of your 360. Yeah. But that was because people developed a high expertise of craftsmanship. I don't quite buy that 3 years in, we're far enough in that we've reached that apex yet. I feel like this does not serve the majority of consumers. It squeezes them. And that's my gut check on
this. I'm totally with you on that. And I don't feel like it's an either-or scenario, but especially coming from Sony, like, hey, maybe prioritize your first-party studios to make really awesome software right now, which I know is happening, but this generation has not been fantastic for first-party stuff. The Order 1886 is one of the best-looking games on consoles, period. It's not a great game, but at no point during that was I like, man, this needs better graphics.
Yeah, like that wasn't the problem.
That wasn't the problem.
Yeah.
You know, graphics haven't really been the problem this generation. I haven't really looked at anything and been like, that's an issue. You know, I'm more concerned with get better quality games. You know, get more people working on interesting software, because that's That's first and foremost. I think that you're going to sell PS4 0.5s to a bunch of people who already have a PS4. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people who are on the fence on getting a PlayStation console are going to jump in with the 4.5. Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me, you know? Mm-hmm. I think you're going to sell the people who are already there, the diehard Sony people, and then, you know, from there, what do you do? Like, you keep splitting up that market, so.
And I'm really sort of confused if it's just going to phase out the PS4. Like, if it will be introduced at the same price, and then a PS4 will drop in price, and then eventually phase out, mm-hmm. and three years from now, the 4.5 will be
pretty much at iPhones, launching. Right? Like, any when a new game comes to iOS, and you're like, I really want to play this, like, I saw a bunch of people playing Miitomo, obviously, and that game is, like, a surprisingly giant resource hog.
Yeah.
Like, it eats
destroys
up
your battery.
It's very interesting, because it's mostly just, like, an avatar of a guy walking around a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm so into it, because that's all I do in real life, too. But people on iPhone 4s are having trouble with this game. But it's like, yeah, you're on an iPhone 4. Like, you're phased out at this point. You're two phones behind, or three phones behind. Like, no, they're not interested in you anymore. Mm-hmm. So I think if we get to a point where it's like, you know, Horizon 2 only runs on the PS4.8 or whatever the hell it is by then. Like, that's kind of a problem for anybody that bought a console expecting it to last 7 years, which historically Sony consoles do, or consoles in general do.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a little frustrating, and it's a little painful even to watch happen. They're going to tell you that these things are not going to be phased out. No one is going to say, of course, you know, no, they'll be good forever. Nobody ever says that. When the DS came out, no, it's the third pillar, not abandoning the Game Boy. Yeah. We're just adding this. The Game Boy was dead 2 years later.
Yeah.
That's how it works. If you buy into this, there's a very good chance that gradually that technology is going to get left behind. They will take as much money as we are willing to give them. And frankly, I kind of feel like we're being pulled along by the nose a little bit
on this.
That
being said, if you could upgrade your console and just give it to somebody, and they'll give you the new one for $100 or something like that, would you take that deal?
At 100, I'd think about it. Okay. I don't know if I do it or not, because I feel like I'm vilifying. You know, I do like, you know, there have been add-on packs. I've bought them before, and I'm a PC guy, so I know how the upgrade cycle thing works. But, you know, again, Microsoft's already given me one world where I can buy new hardware every 3 years. It's called a Windows computing environment, and they help create the hardware-software loop that makes that necessary. I don't want to see that invade the rest of my gaming.
Did you buy the RAM pack on N64?
No, it probably came with Donkey Kong.
I mean, you had to play Perfect Dark, right?
Actually, I don't think I ever bought my own RAM pack.
You steal one?
Huh? No, but I was living in a dorm at the time, so you know, the guy next door had the Perfect Dark with the RAM pack, so we just went over there.
Got it. Yeah, now I know a lot of people who are like, I cut cable, and I'm like, oh, how's it going? They're like, really good. I use my parents' Comcast lock.
Yeah.
I'm like, doesn't count.
Yeah. But I'm trying to think of any N64 I ever owned. I don't think I ever actually purchased a RAM pack from them.
Like three games.
Yeah, interesting.
All right, moving on. This is Hunter White from Clemson, South Carolina.
What's up, Hunter?
He says, I'm a new viewer. I really love the show. I've been wondering, with all the recent discussion about the release of the Oculus, Vive, and PSVR, do you, Scoopman, intend to purchase a VR headset this year? Or will you wait to see if this new platform for gaming becomes popular with consumers and game designers?
I'd like to take us on Scoopman for a second. I think the four of us should start dressing like a doo-wop group and perform as the Scoopman. just a thought.
But, yeah.
Our genre has to be scoop wop.
Scoop wop.
Although,
we got a scoop wop right here.
Speaking of Italy,
I didn't say that. I disavow all knowledge of that comment.
All right.
So, VR.
I think, Brian, did you say you pre-ordered?
I thought Hunter White was the most racist thing said in the last 30 seconds. I did pre-order the PSVR. I got the core pack, not the bundle one, because I have the camera already, which means I have to, like, buy some weird old Move controllers somewhere.
You can probably find some in a drawer.
That's somewhere. The weirdest thing about PlayStation VR is the idea of me buying PlayStation Move controllers in 2016.
It's like the most futuristic the technology, here. But you got to get those weird things that kind of look like dongs from like 4 years ago.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Like it's like if you had to get a new iPhone and you also had to bring a lantern. So I'm into it. I'm still terrified of the sort of moral and social ramifications of VR. Mm. I think the idea of like hiding inside a helmet when I could be spending time with my significant others is probably something I want to be doing more. I also I have a feeling my wife is gonna mess with me when I'm wearing one of these things. Like she'll yell at me or something like that, or just come up with just, I'll take it off, I'll have that ski mask. You know that like that red face, that ski goggle face you get when you do VR for a long time? And the apartment will be clean and she'll be like, I took care of everything. Your move. And I'll be like, oh man, I feel really guilty right now.
I'm also nauseous.
I'm also nauseous, yeah. Sorry you cleaned up, I just puked everywhere. I'm interested in this thing. I'm not sold yet that this is the future. I don't think this will be, nor do I want it to be the primary way that we indulge in video games in the future. I don't ever want it to be that. I don't think it needs to be. I think that like having that disconnect between myself, the real world, and the television in front of me, that someone can pass between us is a good thing. You know, it's sort of like healthy to remember that you are not completely lost in a fictitious imaginary universe.
Yeah.
So that said, I pre-ordered it because I'm a sucker for new things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to get that this fall. That would be the only one I get. I don't have a gaming PC, so, and I don't have a giant room, so I couldn't really handle Vive. We're lucky enough to have it hooked up here in the office. But to me, this year is sort of like the first year of a console launch.
Yeah.
Where you look at stuff like, it's like Killzone Shadowfall and Rise, and you're like, well, that's really pretty, but the real reason I'm buying this is for the games that are going to come out 2 or 3 years from now.
Yeah.
Because you have that promise, and you know Uncharted 4 is going to come out, you know Halo 5 is going to come out. Whereas with VR, I don't know what the games are like in 2 or 3 years. I don't have that promise yet because no one's really proven yet. Like, I don't know what first-party Sony studios are going to be able to make and if it's going to be something that I'm really going to want to invest $500 into.
Right.
So I'm going to optimistically hang out at the sidelines for a while. I think eventually it'll be super cool and I will own it, but as of now, nope.
Jared. I think piggybacking off of our conversation about PS4.5, I'm terrified that they're going to annually update this thing too. Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm scared of that as well.
Are you getting VR?
So
this year.
I said on Beyond a couple of years ago that I'd pay $1,000 for an Oculus, if that's what they asked for it. And that was right before I had a giant like life-altering tragedy, and now I don't have any money. So I have to walk that back a little. But the moment I've got the cash, I'm going to buy one. Either
Oculus,
not necessarily an Oculus Vive or a PS VR. I'm bouncing between each of them. I don't know which yet, but I'm going to buy one of the three VR headsets and play around with it the moment I've got the cash to do it. Until then, I'm going to hang out after work late and play with the one we have here for free a lot, because I'm kind of all in on this. I've been all in on VR since the early 90s when those things were traveling around arcades that they strapped to your head and you fought the pterodactyl
and drove
the giant mech tank around.
Terrible games.
Even that, but I love them. Like that idea of being able to look around and see the world, it just grabbed me.
Or
and
Battlezone.
You know, Battlezone was rad. I love Battlezone. So yeah, I'm really in on this. I think I like things like, say, you know, flight combat games and vehicle sims and mech sims. And these are all games that are like perfect for VR. A mech warrior game in VR would be the best thing I can imagine in the whole wide universe.
When they announced that Star Wars Battlefront experience thing, I was like, okay, well that's a thing I need to do.
Yeah,
doesn't even matter what it is.
Like, yeah, so it's coming. Yes. So Damon, the short answer is I'll buy it as soon as I have money. Mm-hmm. That is the plan. Yeah.
What about you, Damon?
Yeah,
you're a recently married man.
I am a recently
married
man.
I feel like this changes things a little bit.
Yeah. Already, I guess I don't know if I told the story on Scoop yet. You know, I've played video games around my wife for as long as we've been together, and she's never like, she'll often play games with me, or she'll just be doing something while I'm playing. She's never like complained about it. Ever. Until just recently I was playing The Division, and for some reason that game, the endless gunfire of that game, she's like, can you just turn that off for a while? Can we just take a break from The Division for a while? I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got those surround sound
headphones. I gotta get the headphones.
And that's like, that's a step in the right direction, because it's like, at least you don't have to subject the entire apartment to the sounds of it. But also, like, if your wife walks by, you can still see her.
Yeah.
You know, like,
you have a thing on your face.
Yeah, like, so that's the thing I'm worried about VR, is like not even having that, you know? Just completely losing touch of whoever else is in the room.
But what about the day that you're in VR after you've had a nice long session, you're like, all right, time for a break. You take off the headset and she's just standing there naked.
Yeah.
Think about that.
That could totally happen.
Yeah.
How much did I pay for it again?
I currently have no plans to get a VR headset. For one thing, I have a Mac at home, so I can't even use Oculus. I don't think Vive works with the Mac yet either.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
I haven't pre-ordered a PSVR yet. I think the experiences I've had have been neat.
Yeah.
Nothing I'm like rushing out to buy. However, what I love to do the most in video games is explore new worlds. So when they really do make that Zelda or that Skyrim or that Tomb Raider game that just works, is really works perfectly in VR, then I'll probably be sold, and I'll be like, all right, I need to experience this.
Yeah, there's also interesting, there's like the sort of non-gaming, like social and educational aspects of it, which we haven't really explored quite yet, but the idea that Facebook went all in on Oculus just shows that like they're thinking way beyond the realms of video games. And Alana Pierce, who's one of our newest editors, who just moved recently from Australia, she was super excited for the Werewolves Within, which is like a social party VR game.
I mean,
because
Ubisoft,
she's
right?
like, yeah, a Ubisoft game. She's like, I would use this just to be able to sort of communicate and gesture with my friends and family back home.
Yeah.
And like, it feels more like you're in the same space as them than a, you know, any multiplayer game does. And so, like, that sort of is the kernel of an idea that I think could eventually make VR even like more mainstream than video games.
Like a glorified chat client.
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the Jedi Council holographic thing where you're just all sitting there.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what that game does really well. And, you know?
I think we can make that work. And when that happens, when it's not a giant thing on your head, when it's a strip over your eyes, or when it's a contact lens, or when it's a hologram, I really do think this thing's going to change the way we communicate with other people. I think Facebook is looking into the 20 or 30 year long game with us.
Yeah.
Remember Kit Fisto?
I do remember Kit Fisto.
He was a wiener.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a cool dude.
Yep.
You got what was coming to him?
Or that Kiati Mundi guy?
Yeah. Just had like big old long head.
Man,
like
I watched Force Awakens last night. Just got my Blu-ray in, and it was so rad just seeing all the wonderful crappy aliens, like those great puppets walking around. It's so happy.
Yep.
Yeah.
They were actually there too.
Remember Plu Kloon?
Stop talking about that.
what are the name of the new werewolf creatures in Force Awakens?
Oh, that
are
the Hask thugs. Hask Tria. There's three of them. There's three wolves. You only see the back of their heads in that movie, but if you watch the... Forget it.
I used to see students in Japan practicing calligraphy. Like, they'd have a classroom off. You could see them through the glass. And every time I hear Kanji Club, I just see that bunch of kids.
They're the
like, making little kanji there. They get they're all there in their little t-shirts. Yeah.
Real quick, before we get to Video Game 20 questions, what are we currently playing?
Oh, great question. I played a really cool VR demo just yesterday. It was like an awesome bullet hell shooter, and man, it grabbed me. Yeah, it was really, really cool.
Is this first person?
It's third person.
Is that where your ship is?
Yeah, your wand is the ship, so you're moving it around the 3D space.
Huh?
Yeah, this is a Vive game, yeah. And you're moving the wand around 3D space, and you're battling 3D enemies that are moving behind you and around you, and you can move forward and backward and up, and that was rad. It was like playing a cave shooter in true 3D.
Yeah. Think of like Geometry Wars almost.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it was wonderfully responsive and really, really cool. And I was also very proud because I beat it the first time I played it. But it was a lot
of
fun.
Well worth the $800.
Well worth the $800, yeah. I was just like, yes, just build me one of these that's like Life Force, and I'm there. And I hope I'm allowed to talk about that. I think I am. So.
Well, you did.
All right.
Life Force?
Call the
that game came out like 40 years ago.
There's that. The Road British.
Yeah, that's right. It's called Salamander in Japan.
It is called Salamander, although there are differences between Life Force and Salamander, actually.
To be fair.
Like the animal and
the... No, between the games.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
How about playing... the sci-fi horror movie Life Force? You seen that one?
Yeah, I've seen Life Force. Yeah, that was one of the... that was in Electric Boogaloo, the new... the thing about Canon Films.
Oh, I want to watch that, actually.
Okay, they talk about the making of Life Force in that, and it's really neat.
Okay.
In my 5 years at IGN, this is the most I've ever been lost in a conversation.
Really?
Yeah, incredible.
Oh, God, what have I... I'm so sorry.
No, stupendous. No,
okay. All right.
Brian, what are you playing?
I'm playing two games, Salt and Sanctuary.
How is that?
It's very difficult. Okay. It's 100% just a 2D Souls game. Mm-hmm. So, like, you trek through the first area, you beat a bunch of guys.
It's the dishwasher developer, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you get to a first boss, and he just absolutely wrecks you. Like, not even a chance in hell. Yeah. And you go back, and you grind until you get level 10, and you go back to the boss, and he just beats the crap out of you again. And you just do that a lot until you figure out it's really nice outside. And then you stop.
San Francisco.
And then when you feel like you're a glutton for punishment again, you bring it back in. So, I mean, I'm going to get into Dark Souls 3 when it comes out, I think. I might not play it like immediately, but I'll get to it eventually. But in the meantime, this has been kind of cool. It's not as Castlevania-esque as I wanted it to be. Hmm. Although I picked my hunter character is very Bloodborne-ish, and he's actually got a whip and everything.
Oh, awesome.
So I'm like, okay, this is pretty close to Castlevania. So I'm playing that, and I'm also playing Star Fox Zero, which is... still trying to figure out how much I really like it. Mm. There's a lot of cool ideas in it. I'm not totally in love with the control style so far.
That's sort of been my main complaint since I first played it at
E3. Yeah, if there was a way to just play it with a pro controller and just fly through, I would have been totally excited about it. There's a lot of just sort of weird finicky stuff with using gamepad as a second screen and like micro aiming and motion controls and stuff like that. And to me, it's always been an arcade shooter and like kind of pick up and play. Yeah. And it kind of loses a beat within that. So I've heard from people if you get really good at it, it's awesome and it becomes second nature. But a few hours in, that hasn't clicked with me yet.
Mm-hmm. Marty, what's your plan?
I'm finishing up Ratchet and Clank for review, which I guess I can talk about the first few hours. The preview embargo's up. It's really good.
Yeah.
Super gorgeous. It's one of the prettiest games, I think, on modern consoles. So colorful. The particle effects and the lighting are incredible. That's really cool. And then just started Dark Souls 3, but I'm going to Japan next week. So, yes, for secrets. And so I'm going to put that on pause and then probably play...
Well, I mean, I think we can tell everyone that you're going to From Software to see the next Dead Space.
Yes, right. To see Dead
Space. That's it.
Oh, to see, what was it called?
Deadborne.
Deadborne.
What are you going to play on the plane?
Terrible game.
I have Bravely Second. So I think
I'm cool.
So I'm excited for that. I don't know if I could say that, but whatever. Well, there's no cops.
Again.
As Justin Davis would say, call the cops or there's no cops. Call the cops. Oh, wait, there's no cops.
Last night I started playing Enter the Gungeon.
Nice. Oh, yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah. Very Vince cool. really likes it.
Yeah. Top-down, pixel art, bullet hell, roguelike.
Yeah.
Dungeon shooter.
All the words.
Man. The most literal bullet hell is shooting bullets with bullets.
Yeah.
Like
the
guns.
The enemies are like bullets, animated bullets.
Yeah, and there's like dozens of different guns you can get in that game.
They're called gungeons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they're in the gungeon.
Did you fight that big muscle bird yet?
Yeah, that was the first boss I fought. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Awesome. Yeah, I really want to get into that.
That's a very cool game. No. All right, it's time for Video Game 20 Questions. Our suggestion this week comes from the aforementioned Hunter White in Clemson, South Carolina.
He's double dipping this episode. I like it.
Good job. Well, it was all part of one email.
Good job, Hunter.
Your 20 questions begin now.
Was this game released after January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
All right.
Is it a console game?
Yes. Well, yes. The answer to that is yes.
Okay.
Damn it.
Is this game, burned one already.
Was this released after January 1st, 2006?
Yes.
Okay.
So last gen or current gen?
Is this a game associated with the current console cycle?
No.
Okay, so we're thinking 360, PS3.
Yeah, but the way Damon answered the console question means it was also on PC.
Or also mobile.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but which immediately eliminates like a bunch of, like it's not Nintendo. Because they don't make PC games.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no.
But also, what if it's a handheld game as well? is this game associated with PlayStation 3?
Not exclusively.
Not exclusively.
Okay, but that's the era where...
Yeah.
We start trying character. Do you play a human being in this game?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it a single-player only game?
Yes.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Nice.
For some reason, my gut went to Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. Ooh, certainly, you could ask if it happens in space, or you could ask if it's...
We in space?
Yes.
We spacing?
We spacing. So we're...
Did I already get it?
First person, you play a human in space.
No, not first person.
We don't know if
it's first person. That was in my head. Is it a first person?
No.
All right. Also, we're getting closer and closer to Mass Effect, aren't we?
So you play as a human, it's in space, it's on the PS3
BioWare
era.
Develop it.
Yes.
Wow.
That's 10.
Okay, well.
We got
1 through 3, though. I
sort of just want to guess.
Oh, no. We can't ruin the record.
Don't burn us like that.
All right. Let's see. What distinguished... were people angry about the ending of this game?
No.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay. I'm sure some were. I mean...
Yeah, but...
Did this game originally appear on the 360?
Yes.
Okay, so it's one.
Okay.
Because one debuted on the 360.
Did it be... Yeah, before... It was never on PC before 360? I can't remember.
Yeah, but I mean, Mass Effect 1 and 2 only came to PS... Because Microsoft published Mass Effect 1.
Okay.
Did Microsoft publish this game? Wait, based on what I just said. Now I'm really... Okay, I've confused myself. All right, I'm boned.
No, Microsoft did not publish this game.
Wait, see, is Rex in the second one or only the first one?
I've never played any of them.
Okay. let's see. What's the distinguishing feature between the two? Is this game a sequel?
Yes.
What?
That was good. That was real good.
This game Mass Effect 2.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. So you could have eliminated 3 because 3 has multiplayer.
Ah, there we go. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. You should have known that, considering you've never played any of these games.
Well done, Marty. With
yeah, Mass Effect, Elder Scrolls, and games.
You got in there pretty early.
Three big holes.
Yeah. Released in 2010. Published really?
Don't ever say that again. My three big holes.
That's my new sitcom. My three big holes. One of them's butt.
Back to the dragonflies again.
Yeah.
2010 game, published by EA. Came to 360 first. Came to PS3 a year later.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's right.
And my three big holes came to DS. It was published by Ubisoft.
It was actually the game that sunk THQ. A lot of people think it's U-Draw, but it was my three holes.
There's a Doki Doki Shenpan Maojo joke in here somewhere.
Is there? Because I don't know what that means.
Man, if there is, I'm guessing it's you who's going to find it. Yeah. I was just thinking there's a Doki Doki Shenpan joke somewhere in there.
No, no one should joke about that because it's the most horrible thing that ever happened.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's awful.
Where is it a game?
Doki Doki Mojo Shenpan?
Like it's not the most horrible thing that ever happened.
It's pretty awful.
A genocide?
Didn't you study history, as mentioned earlier in the show?
Yeah, I'll put it up against most horrible events of history.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Really?
Yeah, it's bad.
Okay, we'll continue that discussion after.
That's next week's game.
20 Save questions. It for after the show, as they say. It's cool that you see, what's cool about Video Game 20 Questions is you haven't played Mass Effect, but you can still play the game.
Yes, that's true. I like that.
Three big
That is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Marty. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop. We're out.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you, and let's make season two even more memorable together.